I just love these beautiful citrus trees, but sadly, Californians are in danger of losing them forever. An insect called the Asian citrus psyllid is threatening to spread a fatal tree disease called HLB, or citrus greening disease. Visit californiacitrusthreat.org to see pictures to help you identify the pest or its symptoms. If you think you found the psyllid, act fast. Call the California Department of Food and Agriculture at 800-491-1899.
A public service from the Citrus Pest and Disease Prevention Program.
The city's police department is facing a new era of law enforcement with new techniques and challenges. That's why the Riverside Police Department has completed a strategic plan, a vision of how the department will serve the community through 2015.
It is obvious stuff, but here I think is the most important thing. By writing it down, committing to it, we get to look back. As decisions are made, we have something to go to, our guiding document.
The best way to fulfill that vision is through reachable and clear goals, and that's exactly what they've done. It's called, appropriately enough, Safe in Our Arms.
Well, you know, there's a lot that's required of a police department, and we settled on these five goals through a combination of processes. The first thing is we went out into the community, and we also talked to our own workforce, and so that was a big part of establishing these major goals.
Goal number one, reduce crime, the fear of crime, and the perception of crime in our community.
Well, that's our basic job. That's what they pay us for. As we went out into the community, we detected, understandably, that was a goal of the community, to feel safer, to in fact be safer.
Goal number two, integrate the ideals of community policing throughout the department.
The police department and the community together, we identify problems that we should be working on. Together we work on them, and together we develop solutions and we solve problems jointly to push the tenets, the philosophy of community policing throughout the department, so that it's not just the exclusive purview of the neighborhood policing centers or even of a community services bureau, but that everybody, in all the detectives, all the officers and patrol that are responding to 911 calls understand the tenets and the philosophy of community policing, and they use it on a day-to-day basis.
Goal number three, develop and mentor personnel to ensure they are prepared to lead the department.
A significant proportion of the management level of the department is eligible to retire within the next few years. It's important that we consciously, strategically plan out a succession process. And part of that is to make sure that our people are given the opportunity to get formal education, that are exposed to a broad array of law enforcement challenges, and that they're making management decisions at a relatively lower or middle rank.
Goal number four, enhance the department's service to youth.
I personally think that this is, along with fighting crime, this is our bread and butter. We're never going to get there, but the ideal and the thing that we're going to shoot for there is to work ourselves out of business by helping young people to develop into law-abiding, respectable, respectful adults. It's in our best interest.
Goal number five, achieve operational excellence and efficiency.
That last goal is about management. It's about making our processes better. We've already embarked on a very, very wide-ranging review of all our processes, of our department manual, of the way we do things on a regular basis to make it more efficient, more effective, figure out what's the cheapest way to do it, how can we deliver things at the lowest cost, never compromising quality.
The service, quality of service, they've seen an improvement over the years. year after year, and that's because we have a strategic plan. It's because we have these things in place that each year this department and this city serves their clients, their customers, their constituents better. Here's what they have to say, what they want to see done, and then we provide it. They're a very good thing for the city of Riverside and our citizens to know that they're getting the best quality public safety we can possibly provide.
I'd like to see Riverside get recognized for being the safest and the best community active police force. I believe that the Riverside Police Department's five-year strategic plan takes a good step forward in accomplishing that goal. When the citizens feel that their police force or their police agency really cares about them, good things come out of that. Volunteerism increases, community support, community input increases. You get a good relationship with the youth of the community, and the police force are seen as the role model that they should be seen as.
There's three parts to keeping a city safe, and that's the police department, the city making sure they have the money and tools, and the citizens' participation. So that is, without that, it's the old three-legged stool system. If one's gone, the stool falls over. So you need all three to have a successful, safe city.
Society sees the police, the perfect police officer, as that person that has the toughness of the Terminator, the sensitivity of Geppetto, and the wisdom of the Jedi Master Yoda. They want that all rolled into one officer.
I think the men and women of the police force, if they look to this as their guide, we can have that partnership together between community and the police department.
These strategic goals give us the vision and the route we need to take to get there.
It's a flexible document, it necessarily has to be, and it's not going to include everything that everybody would want it to be. But I think it is important to, at a point in time, say this is who we are, this is what we stand for, and communicate that to ourselves, to our employees, and to the public that we serve.
It also gives us an opportunity to continually check to make sure that we are accomplishing those goals and if we need to make any adjustments.
The public will be able to track the progress that we make, or the lack of progress, on achieving specific goals. You'll be able to go onto the RPD website and go to this tab that will tell you who's responsible for achieving each of these sub-goals and whether that's been achieved or not. And so I expect continuous improvement as a result of focusing on these five major goals.
Everyone needs a clear direction in a time of great challenges, even a citywide police department. These strategic goals for RPD promise a clear vision for the department and for the city itself. And now we go to station number 5, where Mary Parks is looking at the fire department's vision for emergency response.
The city of Riverside's fire department is one of the best equipped in the Inland Empire. But a recent addition here at station number 5 near the city's airport is a welcome, life-saving tool to the department's inventory. When fully integrated, it will ensure respite for firefighters at emergency scenes for years to come.
And what it does is it really recharges the firefighters. It recharges their air bottles. It recharges their bodies by allowing them to drink and to cool down in the hot summer. And it also allows us to light up an emergency incident at night so we can see and better perform on the scene.
What it provides is the ability for them to do their job to the best of their ability. Makes them more productive, makes them more efficient, makes them more effective.
We never had a vehicle like this. In the past, we would have to go to the fire station to bring new air bottles to the scene. We'd have to go to the fire station to find the drinks and allow the firefighters to cool down and recharge their bodies.
This asset is a base of operations for our firefighters, allows them to take a break and get right back into fighting the fire. This brings the fire station to them so that our firefighters are supported long term and that they can provide the best service to our residents.
These controllers allow us to control the two command lights that are on top of the vehicle. This vehicle has enough light to light up 2 football fields. This vehicle is equipped with many compartments. One of these is a command center where the commander can stand here and do the paperwork and all the necessary functions of the vehicle. These spare air bottles allow the firefighters to safely enter a structure and put out the fire. We also have 2 Mr. fans. We can use these fans to either cool down the firefighters or cool down the citizens from the extreme heat in the summertime. At the back of the vehicle, we have the compressor charging station. This compressor charging station allows us to fill up 4 bottles simultaneously while the firefighters are inside doing their job. This compressor fills up bottles very quickly and allows us again to recharge the bottles, put them back on the firefighters, and they can get back to work. This vehicle has large storage cylinders on it, which allows us to quickly get on scene without having to build up the air pressure. We have 4 banks of air bottles, so we can arrive on the scene of an emergency and fill up our air tanks quickly without waiting for the compressor to start up and to fill. The air that we currently have on the vehicle, without ever starting up the compressor, we can fill up approximately 45 air cylinders or recharge 45 air bottles so the firefighters can go back in. Another nice feature of this vehicle is the large electrical generator, which allows us to power up lighting. We have portable lights, which we use inside of the structure to help light up inside the house. We hook those up to our extension cords, which are mounted on the vehicle, and allows us to bring the power inside the house and light up an interior if we need to. The air compressor sits in the middle of the vehicle, and it's a self-contained unit. This allows us to easily service the unit, and if we ever did have a major failure, we could remove this compressor and put another one in its place and put the vehicle back in service in a timely manner. The other component of this vehicle is rehabilitating the firefighters. Every year, approximately 100 firefighters die due to heart attack and heat stress. This vehicle allows us to provide easy ups, tables, chairs, and the cooling fans that I showed you earlier to cool down our firefighters and make sure that our firefighters are safe and healthy while they're fighting the emergency incident. Keeping the body cool is very important. This rehabilitation compartment allows firefighters to come in and to cool down in the summer or warm up their bodies in the winter when it's very cold so they can continue on the emergency incident. This also allows us the place for our citizens to stay. If their house is damaged, they can come in while we're fighting the emergency in a safe, ventilated, and heated or cooled atmosphere where they can take care of their loved ones while we're fighting the emergency incident. Having a restroom on scene allows the firefighters to go back to their job and to save the structures and reduce property damage. This really is an incident support vehicle, not only for fires and vegetation, wildland fires, emergency incidents, earthquakes, any kind of natural disaster, and it really brings the fire station to the fire scene.
I can recall about 2 years back, a hot summer day, there was a structure response and a fairly large fire. It was hot, very hot. The ambient temperatures, it was probably 100 plus degrees, which zaps your energy pretty quick. So you exit the structure and you're looking for a little bit of shade, maybe some rehab, the nice Mr. Fan. A unit like this is going to be fantastic on scene. And we're pretty excited to have this to add to our arsenal.
One of the best features of this engine is that it didn't cost the city a penny. In fact, we got a federal grant and it came from the Urban Area Security Initiative through the Department of Homeland Security.
We anticipate that we'll be able to use this vehicle for at least 20 years. Depending on usage and mileage, but it'll last a long time.
If our firefighters aren't at their best, then they can't support our folks out there that need the help.
Fighting fire and responding to life or death emergency situations is a dirty round-the-clock job, and it requires tough equipment. With the Spartan unit, that job just got a little easier for our city's firefighters. And now we go to Bridget, who is exploring the city's recycling program and how you can help make the world a little greener.
The challenge of recycling is not new to Riverside. We've been doing it for years. Who wants to see something go to a landfill that can be reused? That aggressive campaign has helped make us one of the greenest cities in Southern California. However, there is one lingering question that always has to be answered by Public Works. Which one should I use?
You know, people ask us all the time, how do I separate my material from my house or my commercial businesses? And it's really quite simple. We have in commercial businesses 2 bins, and in our residentials we have 3 bins.
The green bin contains anything from your yard, such as green waste, plant material, trees, and even your palm fronds. A lot of people get confused on that, but palm fronds actually can go into the green bin and be recycled as part of our program. The only thing to make sure is that the lid closes, so you have to fold it down or break the branch to fit inside the container. The great thing about our green waste is it actually turns into mulch. That's what the city does, and then gives away free mulch from everything that goes in here. Some people get confused and also throw trash in here. We have to make sure to keep the trash out, because remember, this is recycled. This is turned into mulch, and if the trash is in here, it comes back to you in the green waste, and we don't want that. The blue barrel is the most important barrel of all. This is the one where we get to recycle everything. The city right now has a diversion rate of 68%. It's a phenomenal number. The ways we do it in the city is by getting rid of our materials such as newspaper, plastic bottles, metal coat hangers, or any other metal we may have. One of the newer elements is polystyrene. Polystyrene, styrofoam, is used for many materials. They can even make molding out of it that goes in our homes, around our doors, and around our baseboards and things like that. It's a wonderful material to start recycling it. One of the things that people get confused on is when they buy their bottles of water or sodas, they often forget that they have to take the plastic off in order to recycle the cardboard. The cardboard is recycling, but the plastic is not. The plastic needs to go into our trash. The last bin is the brown bin. The brown bin takes all the material that doesn't go into your green or your blue, such as the plastic that we got from the bottle can, other plastic wrappers, and things that are mixed, such as notebooks. This has a metal item in it, and when everything is a mixed material, it has to go into the trash. Remember, anything can go in here, including your green and your blue, but it's very important that we only put in the trash elements, things such as food waste and these items. Anything else, let's keep them sorted and keep our diversion up to that 68% and see it improving. Riverside's done a remarkable job in that we now have a 68% diversion rate, but there's changes coming. The changes will affect the commercial businesses in our community and the multifamily homes. Commercial businesses currently throw away 50% of the waste in the state of California. So the goal is by the state to divert more of that waste into the recycling stream, with the ultimate idea is to have 75% diversion in the state of California. The city of Riverside is well on its way to meeting that goal of 75% by working with our commercial businesses and our haulers throughout the city and finding ways to incorporate more recycling.
Currently we have 7,000 commercial and multifamily businesses, and out of the 7,000, only 1,000 are recycling. Our goal is to increase that so that all 7,000 recycle. There's two types of commercial bins currently. There's a white one for recycling and a blue one for trash. This white one, you can put materials such as boxes, papers, and beverage containers that are glass and plastic. And with the white bin usually comes the trash bin. It's either blue or gray, and in this bin, you put things that you don't put in the white one, such as food waste and other trash materials. We're glad to say that currently businesses are being very cooperative. They're calling us and asking more questions of how to be proactive and what they can do to recycle.
What can be recycled? Shredded paper, magazines, phone books, books, junk mail, newspapers, envelopes, file folders, cardboard, paper food boxes, aluminum cans and foil, tin cans, empty paint cans, empty aerosol cans, bottles and jars, all plastics labeled 1 through 7, and soda and water bottles.
Some of the programs we're implementing are commercial food waste programs. We're looking at working with our haulers on that, diverting more food waste out of our businesses, the construction and demolition waste, things like concrete. Those programs have been developed recently in order to improve the recycling and get our numbers to be even higher. Our current goal is 75% diversion in the city of Riverside. We actually hope to far exceed that. Our goal is, as an Emerald City, is to even improve further, and potentially we would like to see zero waste if it's possible.
Recycling has removed tons of waste that would normally have disappeared into a landfill. In Riverside, it's gone from refuse to reuse. And now Greg finishes our show by looking at another conservation program, one that has really taken root here in the city.
It's spring. It's that rare time when many Riversiders actually look forward to getting their utility bill in the mail, because that's when they receive their coupon for one free shade tree.
We've tried to look for creative ways in order to save electricity. One of the programs that we came up with was the Tree Power program. Customers, our electric customers, will receive a free coupon for a free tree. They can go redeem it at any one of the three nurseries here in the city.
I'm very happy with the program. I love the program. I think it's awesome. I was able to replace some of the trees that my husband and I wanted to get rid of or that were dead. And we've been able to watch the trees grow. And one of our trees is in our front yard, and it's beautiful. And it's that was 5 years ago.
It can actually reduce your air conditioning load by about 20%. So it's a great program. It's good for the city. It's green. It's nice aesthetically. And you get to save power.
We are somewhere around 2,700 trees per season and going up every year. I love it. We can work like a dog, and the city will come in and says, well, can you guys ratchet it up another notch? And we do. We'll ratchet up another notch.
You know, fortunately, we don't have very many restrictions. We don't allow dwarf trees like bonsai, and we also don't allow palm trees because they don't provide very much shade.
Very rarely do you have a government-sponsored program that doesn't have 12 pages of restrictions. It's down to two words: no palm trees, no door. Whatever they want, if it creates shade, it qualifies.
I brought in my utility bill. It was really simple, very easy. I thought actually it'd be harder than it was, but I was really impressed with the customer service. It was very easy. I brought in my bill, and I walked out with a free tree.
And now it's huge. People start calling right after the first of the year, and they ask, is it happening again? Is it going to come in? Yes, it is. And we have to be careful because they start bringing their February bill. They're excited. They don't want to miss out. We do a little over 2,400 trees, so we start stockpiling our trees.
I do a lot of public programs, and I'm interacting with our residents quite a bit. And I always get the question, when's the free tree going to come? When's the free tree going to come?
It keeps me busy. And it gives us a bunch of customers that I don't normally see. So it brings in new people for us. So we like that.
And we were very excited. Last year we celebrated our 100,000th tree in the city. And so we don't have the numbers so far this year on how many trees have been distributed, but we're definitely cranking over the 100,000 mark, and we're looking forward to hitting 150 soon.
This is a really neat opportunity as a family as well to go to the nursery, pick out a tree, and watch it grow every year.
Springtime means more than time to plant a tree. It's also time to conserve water through better lawn care technology. And that's why RPU is giving away these water-saving sprinkler nozzles.
We're not charging anything for the nozzles, so all you have to do is spend about 10 minutes online registering, watching a couple videos on how to install them, and we can save you some money. Most folks don't know is 70% of our water use on our water bill, typically on a residential side, goes to your outdoor use. So this can actually affect your outdoor water consumption pretty drastically. With this little nozzle, you switch it out to the precision nozzles that we're giving away for free. And depending on what your water pressure is at your home or at your business, you'll see a 20 to 30% reduction in water consumption for your yard. To date, we've given away over 160,000 of these nozzles in the city. We decided to branch out into commercial properties. And the Galleria is a great test case for us. We went in, we installed a good test zone of these nozzles, and we've actually, they've been able to save 53,000 gallons of water just in a short 3-month time period.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why we've taken advantage of it. One, it saves a lot of water. We were given, over probably a 6-month period, 3,500 nozzles that we've installed, saving us between 20 and 30% on our water. And I would say probably over a lifetime, we are looking at 3.5 million gallons of water over the course of a period of times.
Now that they have these precision nozzles in, they're actually getting much more coverage with less water on the grass that they do have installed here on the property. Customers have been very satisfied. We don't get very many complaints about they're not working or anything. It just seems to be a really solid product that gains efficiency, and it's relatively easy to do. You can knock it out in, you know, one Saturday morning.
Well, power, water, and personnel are your three highest expenses in any kind of business. And so if I can kind of watch over my personnel and keep that at kind of a minimum maximum, and I can also conserve and save money in my power and water, it's a home run to keep my expenses flat going forward.
And what they'll do is they'll go online to freesprinklernozzles.com. they'll register, they'll put their account number in, and depending on whether or not they're a resident or a commercial customer, they'll be able to be issued a voucher for 25 or 100 nozzles, 100 nozzles if you're a commercial customer. We've been very happy with the nozzle program. It's given us the ability so far to save hundreds of thousands of gallons of water, which otherwise would be wasted out in the yard and get no effect from. So we're really, really pleased with this program, and we look forward to continuing to run it.
When it's springtime in Riverside, that can only mean one thing. It's the season for passing on free trees and nozzles, and that means huge savings to RPU customers. On behalf of Mary, Bridget, and myself, thanks for tuning in on this episode of Riverside Today.
I just love these beautiful citrus trees, but sadly, Californians are in danger of losing them forever. An insect called the Asian citrus psyllid is threatening to spread a fatal tree disease called HLB, or citrus greening disease. Visit californiacitrusthreat.org to see pictures to help you identify the pest or its symptoms. If you think you found the psyllid, act fast. Call the California Department of Food and Agriculture at 800-491-1899.
A public service from the Citrus Pest and Disease Prevention Program. Disease Prevention Program.